The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, 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 what is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 539. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? How's it going? Sunday.
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Brett Murdoch.
What up, party people?
And Brian Manjoma.
What up, what up?
All right, guys, you already know, back with another one, and back potentially with a very short one. To my shock and horror, we only received one question this week. Ain't that and the question came in literally an hour before the show started. So I guess you guys weren't curious about any gaming stuff. So, you know, as we always say, this show is pretty much run by you guys. So if we don't get a lot of questions, there may not be a lot of show. But we are telling the guys that are here watching us live, if you got any gaming questions, ask them now, you know.
That means we get to go home. We get to go back early, maybe get some gaming time in, maybe get a little bit more rest. Who knows?
Yeah, there you go. And go home and see our families. Remember that Dave Chappelle? They're like, I'm going to go home. I want to see my family. Oh, man. All right. Chris may show up, but the show may already be over by then. We'll see. Everyone's busy building nuclear bunkers. Crazy, Perry. Oh, man. Shout out to the chat. Over on YouTube and Twitch. All right, let's get into it, man. So this is the question we got from Mr. Epic Geezer. Awesome name. I like to think of myself as an Epic Geezer too, you know? We didn't get an update on Judas after the game showcases from a few weeks ago. It's been the game I've been looking forward to the most. When do you think we will see an update on its release window? Is the game possibly in trouble? For you guys who may not know, Judas is the game that Mr. Bioshock, Ken Levine, has been working on literally since 2014. And Epic Geezer is basically going, why didn't we get to see it at any other showcases? So we don't know. Like, I think the last time we had an update on this game was 2023. And I might be wrong about that.
Like a trailer or something that got shown.
Yeah, so right. I know as much as you, bro. Yeah, what's up, Brett?
It does have a release date.
What was it? Or what is it?
December 31st of this year.
Of course. Oh, the boilerplate release date.
Yeah, that's not great. It is his first game. Has he been working on it since 2014? Jesus Christ, I thought there was another thing that he was working on.
No, this is it. This is for you guys who may not know, this is the endlessly replayable narrative game he's been working on. That's how he's pitched it as. And we haven't seen much of anything for a while. I wish we had an answer or maybe inside scoop, but no, nothing. And yeah, it is kind of disturbing that, you know, the placeholder date says December 2025. We didn't see it at any showcase, you know? So Rich, I don't know about you. Do you have any inside scoop on this game?
I do have a comment to make on this game.
Yeah.
From what I understand, Take-Two is handling the publishing of the game. Obviously, they have a lot of other games dropping this year, so it's safe to assume this is not coming out this year. This could be one of the games coming out in 2026. But, you know, I don't have any other details other than I know the studio is based out of Boston. You know, that's all I know. But I haven't heard anything. I know that there is some people have been playing the game. There were previews for it some time ago, but they haven't shown anything else about this game in recent memory. So
Rich,
I don't know.
Is it Take-Two or 2K?
What's that? Them.
Is it Take-Two or 2K?
Take-Two Interactive.
The same.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're the one and the same.
Oh, really?
Are they?
Yeah. 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 So Take-Two owns 2K, don't they?
Oh, I didn't remember.
Let's
that.
Let's look this up.
Yeah. The reason I ask is because Rich said, you know, Take-Two has got a got games this year, and I'm like, I'm trying to remember which ones. I know one that's coming out next year, and I'm like, yeah, GTA.
Ooh, no, well, currently it's listed as the developer and the publisher, both Ghost Story Games.
Yeah, 2K is a subsidiary of Take-Two.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know
if this game is even associated with them anymore.
That's interesting. Yeah. Yeah. Cause they were a part of that slate. So, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I'm just telling you what's from the wiki, and we all know the wiki never lies, but here's what the wiki has. Some interesting stuff. Because nothing's ever untrue on the internet. The wiki, which is again, infallible, it is being published and developed by Ghost Story Games. Some interesting things here. In February 2023, parent company Take-Two Interactive's CEO, that's the parent company that must own Ghost Story Games. Take-Two Interactive's CEO, Strauss Zelnick, stated he expected the game to be released by March 2025 at the latest. So it doesn't actually sound like the parent company CEO knows what's going on, which I find really interesting. That's kind of indicative of one of those black hole games. Like,
I've heard plenty of rumors from the industry that say that that game is a hot mess, and the reason why it's taken so long is because Lin can't decide on it.
That's kind of what I'm gathering from the unsaid part of this is it's a creator issue. It's Ken Levine. The talent is being problematic. This is all the stuff he's doing. The talent is being problematic. So Levine can't either. Deliver, behave. You know, this is the same shit I saw a lot of Dan Harmon too. Man's a genius, but he's also fucking insane. Can't say that about Ken Levine, but it's clear that the problem here seems to be stemming from the creative side of things, not from the publishing side of things. When your CEO doesn't know what, like, I don't know what he's doing. Like, you're not checking on him enough, and two, you can't just leave him in a dark basement for 10 years and then be like, "Is your game done?"
Yeah, well, it looks like they're gonna have to need a take two from on that game. here's the thing, Tony, you mentioned BioShock Infinite. Was that the last game that Ken Levine has worked on?
I think so. And yes, that was 2013, bro.
Damn.
Yes, it is.
So according to what we've read, this game, or at least the conception of it, started a year after, you know. I think that wiki, which is always infallible, I think it's right. I think Ken Levine's the problem, you know.
So,
Tony, I remember there being. Sorry.
Go ahead, Rich.
I just was going to ask a question for Tony. So, Tony, the next time we see a trailer for this game in the future, instead of a release date, it'll just be, "Trust me, bro, it's coming out." Would you be okay with that?
I mean, that's better than what we have now. I want to know how come some insiders haven't said anything, you know?
Uh-oh.
I mean, okay. Here's some more infallible information I found on Ken Levine's page. Okay, so apparently on February 23rd, 2017, Irrational Games was actually rebranded as Ghost Story Games and founded by 12 of the former Irrational members. So it seems like everybody at Irrational Games, except Ken Levine and 12 Disciples, was fired.
Oh, shit.
And then here it says, in January 2022, the studio's game was reported to be in development hell, with employees blaming Levine for a lack of leadership, producing a vaguely pitched game that Levine described as a, quote, narrative Lego, quote, in which players have a unique experience. It wasn't until December 2022 that they revealed that game to be Judah.
Wow.
Interesting.
Yep. That lines up. Right. Yeah, that lines up with everything we've heard. Let's just say it's kind of Kevin Levine's fault.
Yeah, I mean, when everybody at your studio is being like, "Yeah, it's that guy's fault," and you're the boss, which makes it technically your job. Like, yeah, there's no way to say that's not your fault.
Yeah. And I'm guessing.
You're the boss. Number two, it's everybody saying it's your fault. So.
Yeah, go ahead, Carlos.
Yeah, it sucks too. Like, it's really unfortunate because, you know, Ken Levine was a pretty good, you know, creative in the industry back in the day. And it just seems like a lot of the creatives, they either burn out or they're Kojima.
Yeah.
It's like like, you know, we've seen this story so many times. Peter Molyneux and Cliffy B and all those cats that were made great games. David Jaffe, that dude went the deep end. There's just a whole bunch of other ones like that that unfortunately they don't transcend the test of time after they hit their big break.
Yeah.
So it's just unfortunate more than anything.
Yeah. It seems like since he doesn't have other people reining him in, he's just waffling on. But at the same time, how the fuck has he been making money this entire time?
there's obviously investment in it. So
it's insane.
Somebody, you know, somebody invested it and is committed to it. So who knows?
Yeah, I guess if you look at it like, if they downsized Irrational Studio and then basically left him and 12 other guys in the basement forever. it's 13 is the small development size. Let me see if I can find, see how many employees it has. It just says it was founded with 13. Number of employees, 33. They have 33 employees.
Hey, good for him.
A magic number.
Yeah, right?
Magic number.
So,
here's the thing. If they have 33 employees, right, that means that they probably are doing a lot of stuff that's going on there. They're probably not burning through money if it's only 33 people.
Yeah, but yeah.
Maybe a couple million every year.
Maybe, yeah, but yeah, obviously they're making a living somehow without any products.
Well, I mean, again, like that has to do with an initial investment, whatever amount of money. So like, let's say you had a AAA budget. Let's say you had the budget of BioShock, right? BioShock Infinite. Right, which they're probably giving it, and you are a 33 person team. That's pretty damn good.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, how's he been making money to live for the past 14 years?
Like I said, if there's an investment in your thing.
No, I'm saying like, does that investment also count the how much your apartment costs every month?
That's everything, man.
Oh wow, I didn't know that.
They made a deal. They probably made a deal with him be X amount of money, right?
Yeah.
And he's just essentially, you know, dipping into whatever that money is, or they're giving him that money over time, you know, based on, you know, milestones and whatever kind of deal he has. So yeah, you that's everything. That's employees. That's you. That's your office space.
Yeah.
Depending on whether he has to pay that or does Take-Two pay for that. It's all that stuff.
Interesting. All right, so it's not just it's not just money put into the actual development of the game. It's other stuff.
That is part of the development of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's salaries. And salaries pay the guy's apartment.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, you're getting a salary for not doing anything, not producing anything.
Well, here's the thing.
You know?
They probably negotiated a salary ahead of time, like Manny said, and then now they're running a skeleton crew, so that salary is going to, like, if they pitched a salary for like, you're like, yeah, we're going to give you $33 million. Like, cool. We have 33 employees. So that's like $1 million per employee. I can ride that for a decade. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That makes sense. Because again, I'm just seeing it too stupidly. Because I'm like, let me not work for a month and see if I'm still employed. You know.
But that's the thing. The idea, it's not like, being a paid studio. You either have all that money or you're getting that money cycled to you from the sale, from the agreement.
Okay. So that's how a lot of these studios, that's how their employees could live. Like, even though they don't produce any games for a long time. Okay. That makes sense. Cause that's always something I wonder. I'm like, how the hell do you live? Like, I didn't realize that part of all that included grocery money. So, all right. That makes sense.
It's a part of the initial investment inside of the game and in the game development. Right.
Yeah.
And then as long as you, just like any movie studio, you make that budget investment. So that goes to paying all your crew, you're hiring your directors, any rewrites or any of that other stuff. That all comes from that initial payment. Now if you go over that, that means that you're over budget and they've already went, they're gone, they're messed up. But if you manage to stay within it, go ahead, Carlos.
Oh, sorry. And I'm pretty sure the 33 employees are full-time employees. They're probably working.
Working on something. I'd be curious to see what goals they're hitting, that's allowing the project to keep going. You know what I mean?
So under normal circumstances, this comes from the game industry. Yeah. What you have is considered, they're called milestones. These are things. These are, if you have an external publisher, these are goals that you need to hit every single time during the process of your game. And for some, under some contracts, your budget, what you get is based off of your milestone. If you hit your milestone, then you get your next batch of money, your next investment. Some studios, what they'll do, they'll section it off. So you'll have a section of like, okay, we've invested in, let's say, something like a prototype. Your publisher had invested in that prototype and to the development, and then in between there you have your little milestones to continue to keep the money flowing. I don't know what kind of deal Ken Levine has over there at a thing, but that's usually the way the game industry works. When you have it, you have your milestones, and you, each time you hit your milestones, you continue to continue forward in the project. If you don't hit those milestones, that means that they have the right to essentially withhold funding, which is what Ready at Dawn experience games like D6, where they were essentially, because they were forced to hit these milestones and not, and they were told to focus on certain things, they weren't, that meant that there might be portions of time that they may not be getting funding from their publisher because they didn't hit that milestone.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
We're talking about Ken.
Yeah, we're talking about Ken. Yeah, no, but it's good. That's good information to have. But yeah, so that's what I'm wondering. Like, what, since you have to hit these milestones, I'm wondering what these milestones are. Like, all right, this month, we're going to make a gun. Next month, we're bullet.
It's not like a gun, a bullet. It's like, it's essentially showing your publisher that there is progression.
Yeah.
Like, in other words, okay, this point, our milestone is to hit getting all this level done and this bit of programming done, and being able to demonstrate it to your publisher. Okay, you've been able to hit this goal. Like, okay, now you have this whole, you have the beginnings of this level done, and then you have this ready to go. And then, okay, this looks good. They'll give like feedback, like, hey, now, maybe you shouldn't do stuff like that, depending on the publisher. And then you move forward to the next one. Each time you hit one of those goals, you keep the money flowing. But again, like, it could be totally different with Ken.
Yeah.
He could have just made a big old deal and just threw a boatload of money at him and said, all right, do
it. Go nuts. What's up, Brett?
Somebody could have been a poor negotiator and offered him either an upfront lump sum or a sum amount over time. And so, like, the same thing with a lot of vaporware, they'll find investments and then they'll just kind of piss away that investment and never actually kind of come up with anything. Like, it could be that he doesn't have any milestones to hit. And yeah, like that's kind of the problem.
That makes more sense to me, what milestones have you been hitting for 14 years? You know,
they recruited him in 2016.
Excuse me, 11 right? years, like, 11 like years,
name,
yeah.
His name was big back then. Like, they might have just thrown whatever deal they needed to get the Bioshock guy.
Yeah. Yeah,
just because of the
that makes more sense now,
Bioshock. He said, you know what, I want to do my own game. And they said, all right, whatever the fuck you want, because Bioshock was awesome.
Yeah. No, so, see, that makes a lot more sense to me, because I'm like, what are, it just seemed like, are they just drip feeding them like progress? But no, it's kind of Levine. They just threw a bunch of money at him. That's probably what it is. You know? But
it's probably also why they refused to give him more money for more developer. He's still working with such a small team.
Yeah, that's also a good point.
We can figure out a goddamn direction. We're not going to invest any more money than we've already invested. Like we're contractually obligated to pay you a salary until you're done with this. But like, we're not giving you any more money until you start hitting some of these marks. And I don't
know. Or it's a or it could be a situation is they, okay, he has his amount of money that he is supposed to get to develop this game. And then let's say he shows up with the game, and then they're like, the publisher says, holy shit, this is the most fucking awesome game we've ever saw. And then they just start throwing a little bit more money. All right, we get it even further, make it better,
Yeah.
So there could be a situation like that. But again, like, we don't know what the kind of deal is, but he was considered a rock star developer.
Yeah. Yeah, that might be enough, by the way, Chris, we're talking about the Ken Levine game, and we're like really dragging the question out because it's literally the only question we got tonight. So if you have any thoughts on Judas and why it hasn't been shown in a while, feel free to speak up. It's a Ken Levine game that's like this, like, narrative game that's like never ending or some shit.
Yeah, well, I would think that if they were farther along in progress, they would. Mm-hmm. If they even had an alpha version, that'd be something. So that's a problem, especially when they promised it. What, it was supposed to release in March?
Yeah, it was supposed to release in March of this year.
Yeah. So yeah. I mean, now we're near the end of June, and you got nothing. And you haven't shown anything. That's not a good sign. And he, I think he should say something. I don't know if it's up to Take-Two put out that message, but you have to give a state of the game right at this point. You're already late. You haven't delayed it officially or unofficially. You haven't said anything. That's kind of concerning. I mean, for all we know, the project could be canceled, and nobody's saying anything. So I think, yeah, you need some kind of proof of life. You know, he's got to put out a statement. And I think it's bad form that he hasn't.
Yeah. Yeah, and the heart of the question was, like, how come the game wasn't shown at any of the showcases? Probably because they have nothing to show.
Yeah. No, if you don't have it in a... in like a decent alpha state to show, like, and you can't put like a sizzle reel together of like key moments in the game, right? That means the game isn't ready. It's not even close to ready. So that's a problem. And he needs to address that, because
they've also shown a bit of it from the last time. I know a lot of us were not impressed.
Was that gameplay?
Yeah. So we need to see a lot more. And he really should make a statement. It doesn't matter. Like, look, I think there's a whole bunch of forgiveness if you say, hey, the game isn't ready. We're gonna push it to next. Look, everybody does it. Look how long Pragmata was kicked down the road and whatever. There's always gonna be forgiveness, as long as you people informed. If you don't say anything, if you go radio silent and nobody knows if your studio even exists anymore or what state your project's in, that's not a good sign. Yeah. You know, and then you can't just market after that. The best thing to do is to keep engaged with your audience, your customers and potential customers. That's always a better strategy than going radio silent, which I never understood that strategy either, because like you are just producing one thing. You're not Capcom, you're not Sony, you're not Nintendo, whatever. You don't have multiple projects in the pipeline where you can go radio silent on one, but you fall back on others, right? You don't have that luxury. This is your only project you got. You have to be transparent. And not transparent, we have to tell people everything, but you got to put out messages. You got to keep engagement. That's important.
Yeah. By the way, Brett, there's a little bit of buzzing coming from your end.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I was on mute, guys.
It's all right. So, Chris, to answer your question, the last time we saw a gameplay trailer was March of last year.
Okay, that's a long time.
Yeah, March of last year.
Okay, so there was a gameplay trailer. So I don't get it. How are you in 14 months? You haven't made significant progress from that trailer?
Yeah,
that's concerning.
Yeah, it is. And like Brett said, the game's actually been in development since. Okay, the idea started in 2014, but it's been in development since 2016. Come on, you know, and the reports are pretty much saying, that the reason is Ken Levine is difficult to work with and that the game's been restarted many, many times. I believe that. That's not confirmed, but I believe that.
Yeah, I got this, man. Okay, I mean, that's a huge problem, especially he's running the project.
Yeah.
And if he has churn and other problems and creative differences, a ton of people, and you're going on, what, 9 years?
Yeah.
That's bad.
Yeah, not looking good. Brian, you have any thoughts on this?
Nope. I also just wonder, where is it? Because we've seen it a couple of years ago, and then, as you guys said, nothing. I wonder if this also has been abandoned.
Yes.
Oh, nice.
Oh, man, good stuff. All right, unless you guys ask us any questions in the chat, that's
good. I got a question.
Yeah, go ahead, Carlos. So, yeah, while Carlos does that, yeah, get your questions in. Otherwise, it's going to be a short show. Go ahead, man. What's your question?
Two questions. First one, quick one. Was Brett on the last show?
I think so. Brett's been pretty consistent lately. You were on last time.
I think I was, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, because I don't remember his thoughts on the new Xbox thing. Maybe I just forgot. The Xbox AMD partnership.
Oh, no, he did, the AMD thing.
We did. We did talk about that.
Yeah, he did talk about that, yeah.
Yeah.
Tuesday for you, Carlos.
Brett, you talked about the whole AMD thing. Yeah, you did. The handheld and everything.
Oh yeah,
not handheld. The Xbox and AMD partnership.
Yeah, that was Ryzen on Thursday, man. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah, that Carlos, that was literally Thursday.
Brett even had his soapbox.
Yeah, man. It was half a soapbox, but it was half a soapbox, but it still had structural integrity, you know? Carlos, where were you, bro? Fuck.
I guess I was gone. I don't know.
Now the question is not if Brett was here. Was Carlos here?
Carlos here.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah, man.
Might have been AI.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, Brett's had a good attendance, man. You say, yep, no questions. I don't know why no one's asking us stuff.
Part of that question, was there not, Carlos?
What's that?
Was there the second part of that question? What were my thoughts on it?
Yeah, because I don't remember. I don't remember Adam's thoughts on it, and I'm pretty sure he missed.
Adam wasn't here. Yeah.
And I guess I don't remember what your thoughts were on that. And I'm like, because I was thinking about the
handheld, right?
Yeah. Or just I don't know that they're partnering with the AMD. I mean, if you want to restate your position to Carlos as he forgot, go ahead. We got to kill time here, you know, or fill time.
I mean, I think it's kind of a nothing burger. Like it's not a dedicated Xbox thing. We need Xbox, you know, the same. We need Xbox on consoles for PC. We need a fully integrated device. But honestly, the weird thing is like they've talked about like this is their, you know, intention to go up into the next generation. And to make a long story short, which I guess I don't really need to do because we have all the fucking time in the world. I think they're out to try and control as much of the storefront as possible while using this as a light launch for a slimmed down version of Windows 11 that can handle gaming, because they know that their shitty office software can't keep them afloat forever. And if they lose ground as the major gaming system platform that everything is developed on, that they're going to be in real trouble, especially as Linux is approaching. So we can translate anything from, you know, Windows into Linux, but Windows doesn't have any kind of equivalent to that whatsoever. So basically, I just think that they're trying to figure out a way to stay relevant in the gaming market as multiple gaming operating systems are coming to the surface, and that this is just kind of a good test bed for it without a lot of costs or anything like that. They can let somebody else take on all the risks, and they just slap an Xbox button on it and call it a win. And it's not really a win, but they did slap an Xbox, so they got halfway there. But it's honestly great, cool. So now I have a button. It's the Ryzen with a shortcut. But really, the big deal is the real secret, or the big story there is that Windows is trying to slim down so it doesn't run games so shit.
Yeah, there you go, Carlos. Oh man, we'll have to get Adam's thoughts on it though, you know. I know he's very upset about the ROG Ally one that's coming out. Ooh, we got a question from Barry Burton. Is there a Death Stranding 2 review embargo? Yes, there is, but we're not going to tell you what it is because that is under embargo.
Okay, I got kind of a two-part question I want to ask the panel here.
What's up?
First part, I think at least out of all three showcases, we were relatively satisfied with the summer reveals that we got this year, right? For the most part, everybody walked away with something that made a couple of things that made them happy, right?
Yeah, a couple of things here and there, yeah.
Okay, that feels like more than we've got in a long time. And I've been sitting there and I've actually been wondering this. Is this the year with this amount of reveals? Because everybody seemed to have a fair amount of reveals, right? Like maybe everybody's development cycle synced up or something. I don't know, but everybody seemed to have a lot of reveals. Is this / like from now until like this time next year or until the end of next year is this where we've hit our stride for the generation? Is this our golden year for this generation, or do you think we're just not going to get one?
I think another way of asking that question would be, has this generation finally started? That's the way I'm hearing your question, Brett.
Has it started or has it peaked?
Has it? Fuck. Maybe I'm trying to be optimistic because if it's peaked, we're in trouble, you know? Because again, everybody knows my feelings on this generation. This generation has been so bad. It's really just got me down on gaming. Gaming stopped being my main hobby for a number of years this generation just because how bad it's been. So yeah, I mean, the way I kind of say it, I'm like, Wait, can it peak if it hasn't started yet? So that's why I'm hammering on that part, Mike. I kind of see it as like maybe it's finally starting. But I'll go with your specific question. Yeah, maybe it's finally hitting its stride. Maybe we could go with that phrasing. Maybe. But again, a lot of the stuff I'm talking about for me that I saw isn't coming out this year. So I still have to wait.
Well, I mean, in the next year and a half. So like until the, you know, end of 2026. Yeah. Most stuff that's announced by now will be out by holiday 2026. So, you know, the glut of stuff that we just got showed. Because I noticed they're not showing shit 4 years out anymore. Not mostly.
Yeah. I mean,
so most of the stuff we've seen seems like it's probably. What's that?
Judas was shown, and who the hell knows when that's kind of be coming out. Yeah. I don't know. I have to think about this. I don't know. What do you think, Carlos? Is the generation, you know, finally hit its stride? We're about to.
Well, I feel like there's only been 1 year where it was like really good or pretty good was the Baldur's Gate year.
Yeah.
I feel like that year was pretty jam-packed with games. Because before that, we had some great games, but they were all like PS4 titles as well. So I hope it's next year that this year we started off pretty decent.
Monster Hunter.
We have a couple of games. Yeah, Monster Hunter. We have Expedition 33. We're going to have Death Stranding 2, Doom, a bunch of games. Even Mario Kart for those folks that like love those games. So, you know, this year is pretty decent, and we still got, you know, Donkey Kong and Metroid and Call of Duty and a couple of other games that are still going to come out this year. But I don't think this year is going to be as packed as what's promised for 2026. But then again, what's promised for 2026 is just a promise.
Every year we get a promise, bro.
Every year we roll those back like T-Mobile minutes. Hmm. Like it's always like, oh, like next year is going to be crazy. It's like, it's the same folks every time that posted on Twitter. Like it's always like, oh, the next year is going to be freaking crazy, man. It's going to be crazy. And it's like half of the titles that people are hyped for always get pushed back. So let's take those with a grain of salt. It all starts and ends with GTA 6. That the year would thrive or die depending on that game.
Maybe that's when the generation starts.
And that's when the generation starts. And guess what? When the PS6 is announced and the Xbox 720 is announced, they're gonna have GTA 6 on that at the beginning. So I hope next year lives up to a lot of the titles that are announced for next year. Not holding my breath, but at least I know that some will likely come out next year. So at least we got that to look forward to.
Yeah. What about you, Chris? Resident Evil 9, right? That's all you care about?
From that show?
Just in general for that you're looking forward to for the near future.
Near future, yeah. I don't know when it's called. The Game Freak game, The Last Something.
Oh, that, yeah, yeah.
I was shocked that game even exists, but it looks great if that's what they're putting out. But RE9, yeah, that I've been waiting for some news. I was like, oh, it touched the lips. Finally got some freaking news, like, and a release date. So I'm excited for day one. I don't have anything else on, so even this year.
Yeah. So for you, the generation isn't gonna be entering any kind of stride then, huh?
No, not this year.
What about next year?
Yeah, barely. Oh, start early next year, maybe. This year, no.
Yeah. What about you, Rich?
Well, let me start by saying this is a phenomenal question, Mr. Brent Murdoch. Now, I know. Yes. Well, here's the thing. For PlayStation first party, this has been a horrible generation, in my opinion. And I know some people will be coming after me. Listen, we have to be transparent here. PlayStation this year, as you guys said, you talk about Death Stranding 2. Remember y'all said, we can't count that as a PlayStation exclusive.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Ghost of Yote is the game that they're dropping this year. So it hasn't really been a good year or generation for PlayStation. However, Microsoft publishing all of these games now on PlayStation as well. Yeah, I would say clearly as a third-party company, even though they do not want to admit that, they are definitely having a great year. I mean, Doom was fantastic. And the thing about it is Game Pass all of these games that they have been releasing, such as Expedition 33, which is a third-party game, all this stuff is launching day one on Game Pass. So I don't think anybody should be arguing to say anything bad about Microsoft in terms of them making sure that they have as many games as possible on Game Pass. But to answer the question, I would say, having gone to Summer Game Fest this year, I do agree that this has really been a very slow generation, but I am very curious for the future of the industry, because again, I've seen a lot of stuff. It's not coming out this year. There's stuff coming out in 2026 I'm looking forward to. As Chris mentioned, Resident Evil, the Omnimusha game, that was also fantastic. So there are a couple of games that are coming that I am looking forward to, but I'm also curious to see what these developers are going to do with Unreal Engine 5. Like I said, we saw a lot of stuff revealed this year. It has no release date. You know, you could talk about the virtual fighter game, which is coming out in the future. You could talk about that Marvel Token Fighters game. All this stuff is coming out later. It's not coming out this year, but it makes you curious to see what the technology, what are we going to be talking about in the years ahead? But no, to answer the question, I would say, yeah, this year has been okay for the reveals. I still think we're going to have a much better year in the future. Maybe not next year, but as we get into the next generation of PlayStation 6 and stuff like that, maybe that can turn around. But so far, I mean, I don't have any issues with, I've been playing a lot of games this year, and I haven't really had too many issues with some of the games I've been playing, so I don't really have too many critiques. Although I will say, for Mr. Carlos Romero, I am still waiting for your review of Mind's Eye, good sir, because that was the game that you definitely said is your most anticipated game of the year.
That's fake news. You probably missed last show, like Brett. I'll say this: 2026 has a lot of titles that have piqued our interest. Like you mentioned, Onimusha. We still have that 007 game that's allegedly going to come out that year. We also have Bloodstained. We have the Invincible game. We have the Marvel Token game, or however that's pronounced. What else do we have? We have, what was that other game? Pragmata.
That's right.
People
are
interested for, but you know, a little skepticism.
I need to see a little bit more.
Yeah, we need to see a little more gameplay, see how it works. But yeah, there's and GTA 6. So there's a lot of games along with Resident Evil that have been announced for 2026 that might make it a great year. And also, there's always games that get announced the year of, where you know, will surprise us. We still don't know what Nintendo is going to release next year. They'll probably release a game or two.
Yeah. All right. I think I can answer a question. We'll see what happens, you know, because right now this year I've only beaten 4 new games, and one of those is a collection, so I don't even think that counts. Death Stranding is going to be the next new game I play. Then the next game I play after that is a remake, so I don't know if that counts. And I am going to play Ghost of Yote, but I'm holding my expectations with that one. We'll see. And then, yeah, next year, you named a lot of good stuff, Carlos, but we'll see if it comes out, you know. But yeah, I have noticed that, you know, because I always make a list of the games I've beaten in any given year. And this generation has been a precipitous decline. Every year I beat less games than the previous year. It's just not a lot interesting me. But there is hope. Yeah, Resident Evil, like you said, the Marvel game, Invincible, I said Resident Evil already. I'm repeating myself. That's a bad thing, you know, because I can't
think. GTA.
GTA 6, that obviously. Pragmata, I'm interested in it. Bloodstained, that should be cool. So, yeah.
Super Meat Boy?
Yeah. that's more for you, you know.
I can't wait.
So, yeah, you know, if these games come out, it should be good. But I don't think that this generation will hit after this, right? Because if I get 5 games, then the situation has been the same as this year, you know. That's not really an improvement. Not like the you know, the golden days when, you know, I'd have fucking 12-15 games. I remember there was one year I was like, I gotta make a top 15 games of the year, bro. You know, that was a long time ago. I think that was 2017 when that generation finally started going, you know.
Back in the day where actually choosing your game of the year was actually difficult?
Yes. That's it's easy now. Nowadays, at least for me, I'm like, the game of the year is always wins by default of some kind. Like, okay, by default, you win. Like, Monster Hunter Wild is going to win probably by default this year. Maybe Death Stranding will take it. We'll see. But, you know, but yeah, there's no challenge anymore. Before, it's like, look, what do I do? You know? Mm-hmm. I remember somebody on Twitter said, like, this is a great point because, you know, you always hear like, oh, you just got to expand your horizons. And like, back in the day, I didn't have to expand shit. There was just too many games everywhere. You know, everything was a banger. Well, not everything, obviously, being facetious, but there was a lot, you know? But games just take too long to make now. And the quality is just getting bad because everything has to be Applebee's. So, yeah, we'll see. I don't really have much hope. I'm being pessimistic. I started off optimistic, now I'm pessimistic again. I don't really have a lot of hope. We'll see, you know?
I think we're moving away from Applebee's gaming.
I hope
I'm happy about that.
Are we? Brett, are we moving away from Applebee's gaming?
I think so. I think some of like the stuff like Clair Obscura, like you're going to see more things that are on the verge of AA and AAA.
I hope so.
Insofar as they'll be AAA quality, but with a tighter scope. And I think that's ultimately what we're talking about anyway.
Yeah.
Like we just don't need the whole goddamn buffet on everything. On some things, sure, it's great. Like, you know, Crimson Desert looks like it's coming out. That thing is going to be a fucking buffet. It just does everything. Sure, cool. Yeah. But, you know, I like open world games, but like, Jesus Christ, man, there's a limit. And you need to be able to push your players through that world in a very special way. You can't just make an open area, right? Like, you have to build the landscape so that it kind of pushes your players in the right way. That's one of the things I love so much about Elden Ring, because I think it gets it very right. You know, what's that thing in the distance? You know, how do I get there? What's this road? You know, it does its landscape right. And then I've played other games like Assassin's Creed, and I'm like, this doesn't need to be open world. This is just kind of traffic from one place to another, right? Like, it's not, I'm not really exploring. I'm just beelining, and there's a bunch of shit in my way. So, I still love open world games, but I don't think we need them to be everything. In fact, there's not a lot, you know, with tools that we have now, there's not a lot that I think that we need a team of 1,000 people for, much less 2 or 3, right? Like, it's that shit's just ridiculous. And I think the era of the multi-thousand person team is coming to an end. And instead, maybe we have smaller teams make more games with smaller budgets.
Yeah,
it feels like that's what we all want. So I think we're kind of starting to get there. And the way that they're seeing it is, oh, you know, well, they're investing in smaller talent and taking lighter risks, but it still ends up giving us what we want.
At least with Expedition, yeah. I mean, it's a good sign of things to come if the industry takes the right lesson from it, you know?
Well, Expedition is founded by the people who left. So is the Witcher team. So, like, if we can, as gamers, especially if they produce something good, if we can, as a community, like, support these smaller teams of talent to kind of govern themselves, then, you know, awesome. That's just a way to encourage more of them to walk away. And you can't acquire talent. You can only acquire companies and IP. And in a day and age where companies are trying to gobble up other companies, sure, gobble up the company, then everybody's going to leave and take their golden parachute and then use that golden parachute money to start up a rival game company that's going to kick you into the dust and eat your lunch. Awesome. Let's keep doing that. Because you know who wins on that? Me.
There you go. I saved Manny and Brian for last because you guys are kind of play by your own rules. So Manny, you know, what do you have to say about this? I don't even know how to ask you the question correctly because you have the Manny generation where you just do your own thing.
Yeah, I'm in my own generation. So it's whatever, you know, whatever interests me, I guess. Would I say that this is the golden age or whatever? No. I can't really name, like, most of the things that I saw on that show because it just did not impress me for the most part. I mean, I guess, you know, Carlos did mention Bloodstained. I remember saying Bloodstained was one and the Marvel beat 'em up was one. But I don't know when these things are. Pragmata has me interested just for the plain fact it's a new IP and it's not just another one of these established franchises just resurrected, you know, over and over again, or being a number, a double digit sequel. Yeah. You know, not that those are bad things. Those things get people interested. But again, that's also one of the issues with this industry in general, or the fact that they can't, because in order for them to have interest, they need to say these familiar names over and over and over again to get people's eyebrows up. So so that's about it for me, and we'll see what happens. But as of now, I'm just like, you know, waiting for the Mandy games.
Yeah. By the way, thank you for reminding me about the Marvel beat 'em up game that actually is coming out this year. So there's something. Cosmic Invasion.
15 characters, which is nuts.
Pretty cool.
Not to mention that guy, that team is double dipping. They got another game that's not even like related to any sort of franchise.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. All right, Brian, what are your thoughts?
I can see where the idea is coming from. And I like how it just subtly says that the rest of the generation having crap, which is, again, fair point. It could possibly be the peak of this generation, but then again, it's a low peak compared to others, but I don't think that needs to be said. Yeah, again, if someone out there thinks that this is the peak of this generation, that's fair enough. You know, I can't really argue with games these days, but I'm in the same boat as Manny. Yeah, pick and choose whatever games I want.
Yeah. I think you kind of nailed it. It's like the peak of this generation, which is lower than other peaks. But, you know, it is, take what you can. Take what you can.
And then somebody chimes in, what are you talking about? This is the greatest generation ever.
You don't play enough indies, motherfucker. Like, all right, bro. Barry is asking, do you think Capcom will release the Resident Evil 9 demo from Game Fest on the same day as Death Stranding drops, and is that also a slap in the face to Sony? Well, we don't know if they're going to make that demo available to the public, unless I'm wrong about that. But I don't think they are at the moment, or unless, Rich, you have some inside information.
I have a comment to make. It's going to be quite horrifying.
Uh-oh.
Absolutely not, good sir. I mean, listen, first and foremost, the game is going to be playable at Gamescom in August, as well as Omnimusha. So that would tell you, no, they're not going to release the demo now. Maybe that can happen a lot later this year, but it's not happening this week when Death Stranding comes out. There's no way. Absolutely not.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. I mean, it would be nice to get a demo for everybody, but I don't think that's going to happen. But you never know. You never know. All right, man, that's going to do it for us. Hey, we finally did it. We got an hour, so that's good enough for me.
I got a quick question, Rich.
Unless you got another question, we could keep it going.
Yep. Rich.
Yes, sir.
Do you have any plans on completing Expedition 33?
Yes, that is a great question, Carlos. I do have to finish that game. There's quite a bit of games I would need to finish before this year is over. There are some more that are coming out later this year. I'm also going to have to make time to finish. So, but yeah, I will make sure I finished that game, because when I started that game, I was very much into it. But then, of course, as the responsibilities goes, there's more games that came in that have to be covered. So, and I haven't had a chance to go back to it, but that will change very soon. So stay tuned for that.
Oh, yeah, will you play Expedition 33?
Uh-oh.
Wait, what happened?
Will you play Expedition?
Oh, by the way, the reason I was distracted is because somebody put up a cool side by side of like that new Cyclops figure and like one of the comics and stuff. He's kind of doing the same pose. We'll see what happens. You know, I'm not saying, I said this before. I'm not ruling it out. You know, I just got to make time for it, because it's an RPG. You know, you got to make time for that stuff.
I bet if that's a Final Fantasy Expedition 32, you jump on that.
Of course, because it's Final Fantasy. That's high priority. You know, there's low priority, but just the fact that I said I'm willing to play it, that's already a big deal. You know, because most games I'll be like, I'm good. You know, but yeah, you know, I'm not against it. Like, maybe if there's time before the end of the year, so we could at least kind of discuss it for Game of the Year status. Again, I'm interested in it.
And that's why I asked Rich the question, because I really want him to beat it so we can at least talk about some of it in end of the year show. Because Rich is literally the only other human I know that's played it.
Damn, it's crazy. This game still sold like so many million copies, and we don't know anyone that's played it. You're the only person I know that's played it, Carlos. It's interesting. And you and Rich, obviously, but you're the only person that's beaten it that I know, you know?
Well, I will say this. Yeah, Carlos, I will do this. I think there's going to be a very active discussion about the games of the year because, like I said, there's some other stuff coming out later this year that I think will be in that discussion. So, yeah.
Yeah,
I definitely have to finish it.
I have thoughts about this game that are going to be controversial. we'll talk about that when we get to the end of the year show.
Yeah, we get to the end of the show. We could talk all about that, you know? Oh, man. All right, good stuff. Let's start wrapping up here. Rich, what is coming up on the Coalition this week?
All right, so shout out to Mr. Adam Vale, Carlos Romero, and myself. We have completed the Walking Dead Dead City Season 2 finale review, which is currently on the website, as well as the YouTube channel. By far, without a doubt, AMC's worst Walking Dead show in recent memory. And I hope they hear this. I will shout it to the heavens to make sure they hear this. They got to do better than that. But yes, definitely check out our review. That was a very entertaining conversation. As for the Coalition, I'm still working on some Summer Game Fest stuff. There is a couple of reviews and previews that I will be posting up later this week. Another review that I'm working on for another game that is coming out very soon that will be posted at some point this week. But yeah, just stay tuned. A lot more to come.
All right. Manny, you got anything? Plug?
I mean, Street Sharks coming toward the September months. We got the last Ninja Turtles cover from Kari Randolph, myself, all from IDW, as well as my cover for Power Rangers for on Boom Studios, which is Power Rangers number 9 coming out this year. So got a lot of stuff, a lot of nostalgia still to come. For some reason, this year has been the year of nostalgia projects. I've done a lot of projects. There's even another franchise that's on the level of, what is it? On the level of Street Sharks, you know, 4 or 3 characters of an animal denomination. You could, there's a wide range of those, but yes, there's another one that I did some work on, which I don't exactly know when that's coming, but they're all coming.
Yeah, I would ask a question, but we're not going to give people clues. You know, if you know that era, you have some candidates you could probably think of.
Yeah.
You know,
but there's Bucky O'Hare, Biker Mice from Mars, there's Street Sharks. There's the Toxic Crusaders, which could also be construed as one of those sorts of things. You know, there's a bunch of them.
Yeah. Good stuff. All right. Let's start wrapping up here. So make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter, subscribe to us on YouTube, join the Discord, and follow us on your favorite podcast app. Links to everything down below. Once again, I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time. Also, if you're in this heat wave.
Yeah, you know. Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Brett Murdoch.
Deuces.
Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a good week, everybody.
And Brian Manjoma.
Apparently, there's a Superman film coming out soon.
Yeah, you can skip that one. Oh, man. All right, guys, we'll see you on Thursday. Later.
Later.